107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Is the Federal Reserve about to cut its benchmark interest rate? That could become a little clearer later today.
The Federal Reserve's annual conference at Jackson Hole has been the site of some important policy statements by the central bank. The latest one could come today when Chair Jerome Powell addresses members. He's expected to provide more information if the Fed could cut interest rates at its next meeting and by how much.
ABC's Daria Albinger. To the thunderous applause of a standing ovation, Vice President Harris accepted the Democratic nomination for president last night. She called on Americans to chart a new way forward. She and second gentleman Doug Emhoff marked 10 years of marriage on Thursday. Former President Trump visited a border crossing in southern Arizona at about the same time Cochise County deputies were arresting Ronald Lee Siverett on outstanding warrants after, say, authorities, he posted a social media threat to murder Trump. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin Regents have approved mass layoffs at UW-Milwaukee. Nearly three dozen employees will lose their jobs on campus. During a meeting Thursday, Regents said they were put in this position because the UW system doesn't have enough funding from the state. Often tenured professors are safe from layoffs like this, but state law ended tenure protections in 2015. The employees work in the College of General Studies, which will close next summer. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Moen said cutting these positions is necessary, even though the Faculty Senate voted against it. And the FDA has signed off on new COVID-19 boosters. Spread of the virus is at its highest summer peak since 2022. The new boosters from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech will roll out soon. The CDC recommends everyone over age 5 get a COVID booster and a flu shot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face the Oakland A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series tonight in Oakland. They got shut out yesterday in St. Louis 3-0. The Cardinals' Miles Michaelis held the crew to just a pair of hits through 6 innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things, and then got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that, and he dominated us today.
High school football, over 360 high school teams kick off their season tonight as part of the statewide WIAA competition. NFL, Packers and Ravens tomorrow at Lambeau Field, kickoff at noon. Matt LaFleur.
It's always great to go against a competitive team like the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier teams in the National Football League. We're just looking to competing against them and getting better today.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll do a recap of the DNC in Chicago, Illinois. It was quite a party. Tune in Friday.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. The DNC is over, and I'm taking a breather. Don't worry. I got you covered. Special guest host Matt Rothschild is up next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Zone.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and happy Friday, everybody. We officially made it through the week. And here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots of what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're hearing more about some of the Dairy Hub Fund research that UW-Platteville is conducting and what enrollment looks like for them so far this fall. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, has weather details on the way as well. Plus, it's a Friday, which means we'll have our Friday Farm Salute on the way, highlighting one of this year's Century Farm Award winners, courtesy of Compeer Financial. Plus, the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest is right around the corner, and Pam Bianchi has the details. All of these are yet to come. Stick around.
Channel Seed technical agronomist John Kinnaker joining me now from Wisconsin to share research efforts by Bayer Crop Sciences to combat plant diseases like tar spot. What's the latest, John?
Bayer research teams are working to better meet the agronomic needs of our customers. We're proud that our R&D, research and development, product pipeline investments lead to the seed and crop protection industry by a 2-to-1 margin. The focus is on breeding new products with enhanced genetic tolerance and developing innovative new crop protection products.
What about progress, John?
Our breeders are identifying new genetic combinations with tolerance to, for example, tar spot and other diseases using our precision breeding strategy. We expect this capability to reduce the breeding cycle from 6 years to just 4 months. One recent advancement has been recreating tar spot in test plots, for example, in Wisconsin here, to help develop new corn products with improved tolerance.
Thanks, John. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Agriculture in colleges is seeing an upswing in recent years. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Tara Montgomery, the School of Agriculture Director at UW-Platteville, was able to give a look into what research they are doing with their Dairy Hub funding and what the fall enrollment is looking like for the School of Agriculture.
Right now, on a per-year basis, we get $7.8 million across UW-Madison, UW-Platteville, and UW-River Falls. And our portion of that is 24%. River Falls also gets 24%, and Madison gets 52%. And so we've got projects that we fund every year. In this particular case, we had five fellowships that we funded that are starting, well, started July 1st, in addition to other faculty fellowships that are being funded from previous years. Because when we started, we had an idea in mind of how everything would work. And, you know, you put kind of everything in a nice, neat little package. And agriculture never works quite that nice and neat, especially when it comes to research. And so we've got quite a few projects that are happening on an ongoing basis. But we just funded five new projects. So these are new faculty members, or they're faculty members that are currently at the university that are funded for new projects that allow them to focus on the four priority areas surrounding the Dairy Innovation Hub to help with the dairy industry in the state of Wisconsin and beyond as well. So we have faculty from chemistry, from the School of Agriculture, mechanical and industrial engineering, as well as computer science and software engineering. So we really try to spread the ability across campus for faculty to be able to apply for these funds and also get funded for fellowships that will allow them to use undergraduates to do research that'll benefit the dairy industry in a lot of different ways.
Are you able to give us any insight on what they're planning on doing for research to help the dairy industry?
So we've kind of are all across the board. We have a faculty member who is hub funded, Dr. Joe Sanford, and he is doing biochar research. And he just recently got funded for getting his biochar piece of equipment that's going to allow him to increase the scale at which he creates biochar. And so his fellowship is creating long-term research plots so that he can take the biochar that he's making from manure that's made at Pioneer Farm from our cows and then put it on different research plots to see some of the mitigation in terms of runoff, being able to make sure that we're not having as much leaching of nitrogen, some of those kinds of things. So looking at different types of crop production systems and trying to really enhance what we know about soil science and nutrient management. So that's one of the ones that's kind of an ongoing effort. A new project is taking a look from the Department of Chemistry, is taking a look at priming alfalfa seed in order to be able to increase the quality and value of the alfalfa as a feed source. So trying to take a look at drought tolerance. We've been lucky, I think, this summer, but we're not always that lucky when it comes to drought. And so we want to make sure that we're taking a look at such a valuable crop for the dairy industry and beyond as well, but especially the dairy industry, wanting to make sure that we're looking at ways that we can help farmers maintain a level of consistency across their crop, regardless of what the climate's going to do for us. And then we have a new project looking at enhancing dairy calf health. So the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering has some faculty who are interested in machine learning. And so trying to collect data on the very youngest of our animals on the dairy farm and trying to predict their health a little sooner. We know that lots of people put a lot of time and effort into raising these animals from a young age to be productive animals. We want to make sure that we're allowing those folks access to the best data possible to be able to make good decisions. Because if we can get ahead of some of the health events, where before we might have treated with antibiotics and maybe lost some production from those animals, we can reduce the use of antibiotics and still enhance the health and welfare of the calves. So those are just a couple of examples of some of the projects that we've got going on. I could talk forever about all of the really cool projects that our faculty are doing at UW-Platteville.
How is the fall enrollment looking for the ag program there at UW-Platteville?
So in the School of Agriculture at UW-Platteville, we have seven majors, ag business, ag education, animal science, dairy science, ecological restoration and resource management, environmental horticulture, and soil and crop science. And so across the seven different programs, we're actually doing pretty well with our enrollment. We've, this end of this week, we'll have our last new student enrollment days where students come in and enroll for their classes. We also have an uptick in transfer students. So it's been really encouraging to see the number of students who have maybe started somewhere else and weren't really sure what they wanted to do and have found a focus in agriculture. Sometimes it's because they've had an experience maybe in an internship, or a lot of times it's because they weren't really sure that they wanted to go back to the farm and then started to realize that, you know, agriculture has a lot of cool technology and is really crucial. And so when we look at agriculture, it's amazing to think, you know, we're always going to have to feed the world, but we also have to think about things like sustainability. And so a lot of students are circling back around to figure out how can they help really make some advancements. And so while we always have students who are interested, for example, in ag education, there's been a lot of an increase in students who are interested in things like agronomy and soil science, as well as looking at the business side of things. So we've seen a little bit of an increase over the last couple of years since the pandemic, which really kind of hurt, I think, numbers across the board. But we're looking pretty strong at, you know, right around 500, 525 students.
To kind of go off of that, what would you say are like the very top majors that you guys offer there in the ag program that tends to get the most kids?
Well, animal science, I would say by far, is our most popular because lots of people grow up with dogs and cats. And they think, they realize how important those animals are to them and to their family. And so they really want to try to make sure that the animals have the best life possible. So pre-vet is very common when students come in. They want to be a veterinarian so they can help dogs and cats and other animals. But it's interesting because they come to classes. They start with a class like Intro to Animal Science, and they realize there's so much more to animal science than what they understood from the kinds of things that they maybe got from a high school biology class or things like that. So it's always our most popular major, but it's always interesting to see how students change their perspective once they get into some of our introductory classes and get out to Pioneer Farm and get to interact, you know, kind of across the board. I would say another major that's seen an increase has been our environmental horticulture, where there's been some interest in greenhouse management, but also from students who are maybe looking at going and becoming teachers. So ag education, for example, that sees steady enrollment. And they look at environmental horticulture and greenhouse management and realize, you know, when I go to a high school, when I start teaching, I'm going to have to probably manage a greenhouse. They're becoming very common across the state in where there's ag programs in high schools. And so they're taking the opportunity here where we can teach them about greenhouse management.
Tara Montgomery explaining what research is happening at the UW-Platteville School of Agriculture and how the fall enrollment is shaping up for this year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll tell you, Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is going to recombobulate at 10:33, and we got special guest host Amy Westrup of Comedy Sports joining me all morning. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Ahead, farmers used to rely on these weather cues to predict their crop yields and plan their harvest. So whether you're planning a farm-to-table feast or just enjoying the last days of summer, keep an eye on the skies today. And if the weather turns out just right, maybe it's a little nod from the universe that your garden or your farm is in for a fantastic season. So speaking of this wise tale and weather, it is time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. You can learn more about them and find a location near you at compeer.com. So, Stu, have you heard of this St. Rose's Day tale, or will the weather today be what they're looking for?
I think it'll be what they're looking for. I hadn't heard of it before this, and you made me look it up, Charity, and I see St. Rose was the patron saint of embroidery, gardening, and cultivation of blooming flowers. So that all makes sense, gardening and blooming flowers, and let's hope we have a great harvest year, as St. Rose's Day lore leads to. We are going to have a pretty good day today. There is some rain, though, and if you're up into north central and northeast Wisconsin, some rain is falling, kind of in that Wittenberg-Burnwood area, further north up into Anago and heading up into far northeast Wisconsin. I see Wausau picked up 3/100ths of an inch just an hour or so ago, and there's a little rain west of Wausau still trying to build in. What's going on today is high pressure is starting to push a little further off to the east, and a weakening front is pushing east in the Dakotas. Out ahead of that boundary is where this little rain developed. There's also some rain way in the far northwest part of the state, I should mention, and up into the western end of Lake Superior. But that's all going to weaken and travel a little further east, and will be done in just a few more hours during the day today. The rest of us are going to be staying dry, sunshine, pleasant, and in fact, those temperatures warm up a lot for the weekend. But this weekend, we'll also watch the next system try and push north from Kansas into Nebraska, and that could lead to a Saturday night or very early Sunday rain chance, especially in about the southwest half of Wisconsin, when there could be a very scattered shower or a thunderstorm, a slight chance of activity lingering just into early Sunday morning. Doesn't look to be too heavy, you know, a couple of tenths of an inch possible again, but there may be just that little bit of rain in the mid part of the weekend. I'll be back with our forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty, Stu, let's dive into it. Let's hear our weather forecast for our Friday.
All right, our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast on the St. Rose's Day. Mostly sunny skies, partly sunny further north. If you're up close to Highway 29 and north, a few more clouds today. I'm anticipating a lot of upper 70s and south winds about 5 to 10. Overnight, we stay more partly cloudy, dropping into the low 60s, a few upper 50s in the north. The south winds only about 5. Mostly sunny Saturday. Summertime returns. We push toward the mid-80s, upper 80s in the west with the south winds at 5. That chance of rain in southwest half of the state in the late night hours into early Sunday. Otherwise becoming partly sunny, staying very warm Sunday. Mid and upper 80s, south winds at 5 to 10. It's going to feel very summery for you, Charity, especially after a little rain Saturday night. Sunday's going to be kind of warm and sticky.
I think I'll take it, though, because I'm going to some concerts this weekend with some friends here for work. So I'm excited for that. And I think it feels like summer just went by so fast that I'm like, oh, man, I want to take advantage of these few summer days and make it feel like it's beginning of summer again.
All right. Well, get out and enjoy the warmth. I think it's overall a good weekend. Just that little rain chance Saturday night about the time it gets to be dark. So
we will be perfect. Once again, everybody, that is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Be sure to stick around with us because you never quite know what you're going to learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York's highest court upheld two lower court rulings August 20th, giving New Yorkers the opportunity to routinely vote early by mail without an excuse. The decision rebuffed state and national GOP leaders who sued to overturn it. Governor Kathy Hochul signed the New York Early Mail Voting Act in 2023, a law, not a constitutional amendment. It allows any eligible voter to apply for an early mail ballot with no excuse, subject to approval by the local Board of Elections. Like any absentee ballot, it must be returned or postmarked by Election Day. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and state and national Republicans sued, arguing that the Early Mail Voting Act was unconstitutional because the state constitution specified in-person voting only. They also argued that a constitutional amendment ballot initiative authorizing no-excuse absentee was rejected by voters in 2021. A 7-justice panel reviewed decisions from two lower courts and found that since the mid-1960s, the legislature had implemented absentee accommodations without a constitutional amendment and agreed that the legislature had the authority to enact the law. One justice dissented. Earlier this year, the New York Board of Elections opened an online portal for citizens to apply for an early mail ballot no later than 10 days prior to the election. New Yorkers, we've linked to the portal at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Is the Federal Reserve about to cut its benchmark interest rate? That could become a little clearer later today.
The Federal Reserve's annual conference at Jackson Hole has been the site of some important policy statements by the central bank. The latest one could come today when Chair Jerome Powell addresses members. He's expected to provide more information if the Fed could cut interest rates at its next meeting and by how much.
ABC's Daria Albinger. To the thunderous applause of a standing ovation, Vice President Harris accepted the Democratic nomination for president last night. She called on Americans to chart a new way forward. She and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff marked 10 years of marriage on Thursday. Former President Trump visited a border crossing in southern Arizona at about the same time Cochise County deputies were arresting Ronald Lee Siverett on outstanding warrants after, say, authorities, he posted a social media threat to murder Trump. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four hotel workers arrested in the death of Devante Mitchell have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors allege they pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. He later died. The defendants include two security workers, a front desk employee, and a bellhop. They're charged with felony murder. They each face up to almost 16 years in prison if convicted. All four defendants are expected back in court October 15th. And a Wisconsin company scored a huge new military contract. Here's Lisa Hale.
Oshkosh Defense has awarded a $1.54 billion five-year contract to build new and refurbished heavy tactical vehicles and trailers for the U.S. Army. Oshkosh Defense has produced over 71,000 heavy tactical vehicles for the United States and other nations. The Army can start buying vehicles from Oshkosh Defense on the contract this month.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face the Oakland A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight in Oakland. They got shut out yesterday in St. Louis 3-0. The Cardinals' Miles Michaelis held the crew to just a pair of hits through six innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things, and then got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that, and he dominated us today.
High school football, over 360 high school teams kick off their season tonight as part of the statewide WIAA competition. NFL, Packers and Ravens tomorrow at Lambeau Field, kickoff at noon. Matt LaFleur.
It's always great to go against a competitive team like the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier teams in the National Football League. We're just looking to competing against them and getting better today.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison Curdfest rep Peter Nickel. Civic Media's Terry Bell gives us a recap of the DNC, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Max Sync Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low 60s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Could be an isolated shower or thunder shower tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad. Or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
People told them,
lame.
Kick the field goal, kick the field goal, kick the...
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining me on this Friday morning. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane now. On August 23rd, 1935, the Soil Conservation Act was signed into law in the United States, marking a pivotal moment in agricultural history. This act led to the creation of the Soil Conservation Service, which provided technical assistance to farmers and promoted practices to reduce soil erosion. This legislation laid the foundation for modern conservation practices, encouraging sustainable land management and helping to preserve the fertility of American farmlands for future generations. In another notable event on August 23rd in 1962, the world saw the introduction of the first agricultural satellite, Ariel 1, launched by NASA in collaboration with the United Kingdom. This satellite was designed to study the Earth's atmosphere, providing early data that would eventually be used to monitor weather patterns, crop health, and soil moisture levels from space. The launch of Ariel 1 marked the beginning of an era where technology and agriculture became increasingly interconnected, leading to more efficient and informed farming practices worldwide. These historical milestones highlight the connection between agriculture and innovation, from that soil conservation effort to the advent of agricultural satellites. And as we reflect on the past, it's quite fascinating to see just how far agriculture continues to evolve and inspire new ideas today. And speaking of innovation, you have to be pretty innovative to be able to keep a farm in the same family for over 100 years. And for today's Friday Farm Salute, courtesy of Compeer Financial, we're hearing from a farmer whose family has done just that. His ancestors faced quite the adversity, such as war, traveling over 90 miles by foot, and escaping arrest in order to get the farm started. Farm team member Stephanie Hoff has the story.
It's crazy to think about how our ancestors made ends meet during troubling times when there wasn't technology like phones or cars. These are the stories that have been passed down through Wisconsin's farming families. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, bringing you another story from this year's Century and Sesquicentennial Farm honorees. Patrick Schley is celebrating his family's centennial farm in Door County. He tells us the story of how his great-grandfather came to America to escape war and start a new life in Wisconsin.
My great-grandfather, Wolfgang Stauber, he was the son of Wolfgang Sr. and his mother, Mary. Her maiden name is Seidel. Seidel is a popular name around here, and so is Stauber. And he was born in Australia in 1856. He died in Sturgeon Bay in 1945, and he was 89 years old. Wolfgang had left his parents and his homeland, and he came to America in 1875. He was 19 years old. He was sent here by his parents because there was the Persian War was going on then, and they didn't want him to fight there, so they put him on a boat to come here. And I guess from the story that Mom had said yesterday, the police were looking for him when he got on the boat, and there was a couple on that boat, and they pulled him toward him. And I think the mother or the woman hugged him up and said, "Well, this is my son." So the police left him alone, which I thought was kind of interesting. Anyway, that's how he got here. He lived in Minnesota for a year, and he stayed with relatives in Manitowoc County, and he worked on a farm and in lumber mills then. And then in 1881, he married his wife. Her name was Mary Keppel in Manitowoc, and he was 25. And they walked from Manitowoc to Door County, which is about 90 miles away, bringing two oxen and one cow, which, can you imagine? I guess they fought a lot on the way here. The new couple and pulling your cow. So anyway, they purchased a 40-acre homestead in May of 1881 in Sturgeon Bay or in Sundar County. And they bought it from Lake Michigan Ship Canal and Harbor Company, and they started farming there. But what was interesting about that was that Sturgeon Bay and Lake Michigan Ship Canal was the one that built the canal in Sturgeon Bay. So we're not really sure why they had farmland there, but I don't know if they had a house there or stocking people there to work. We really don't know. We don't know how the house got really built, so we couldn't really find that out. But he bought a 40-acre parcel, and he paid $145 for that parcel. And then 15 years later, he purchased the 60 acres right down the road from where the house is. And he paid $750 for that. And 40 acres of that parcel I still have. It's still part of the estate. He continued to purchase a lot of land throughout the years and buying and selling. And currently the farm is 140 acres large. And little history with my great-grandmother, which would be Wolfgang's wife. She passed away at 49 years old, and she was born in 1862 and died in 1911. And Wolfgang had six kids then. He had five boys and one girl. And eight children were born to them, only six were living. So he relied a lot on his 16-year-old daughter, who was my grandmother, to take care of the household chores and help raise her younger brother, who was 13 at the time. Wolfgang had counted on my grandmother for much longer than that because Wolfgang's wife, Mary, my great-grandmother, had been ill for more than 7 years. So my grandma kind of took care of her since she was 9 years old. That was a lot for a nine-year-old to take care of.
One, I was amazed at how much responsibility children really had to take on in those early years, like being sent on a boat all by yourself to caring for your mom at such a young age. Your family moved up back home when you were 11 years old to start farming.
Correct.
What was that like for you, having been, you're in the city at age 11, you're transitioning into a new year-round lifestyle, not just for the summer, but year-round work. What was that like?
My grandpa was a cheesemaker, and he lived right across the street from the home farm. So the Schleys were on one side of the farm and the Vogels were on the other side of the farm. When my mom was born, my grandpa Vogel walked over there with that little baby in his arm and told my grandpa Schley, someday this little girl is going to marry your boy. And they did. They got married. So as time went on, there was no job. So when they went to Illinois, he lived in the city. I lived in the city, all that stuff. But we wanted to be here. We always wanted to be here. So all us kids wanted that. When we used to come home from like summer, we used to hate when my mom would wash the clothes because we hate, get rid of the barn smell. We liked it, So that whole connection was here. We wanted to be by the family. We wanted to be here.
Yeah, well, it's in your blood. You can't really shake it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still in my blood. I can't help it. So
you hope to transition it to the next generation, to your kids. What do you hope for the legacy of this farm?
Well, for me, I realize how things are. I mean, houses are built all over the place. Things are popping up everywhere. And hopefully they can keep it as it is and rent it. But I also know that if there's a subdivision next door, they got to consider that. I'm going to be gone at that point. So I would like to hope that it stays in the farm. I know that my daughter, her and her husband both went to school for DNR stuff. So, if she had a choice, she put everything in nature back there. Everything would just grow wild. I'm not really looking for that. I like to have the fields kind of cropped and cut, and I like hay around, and I like corn growing. I like all that stuff. My son, he's no one lives here, so it makes it a little bit harder to, manage, I suppose. I'm right here, so, and I don't live on the property either. We live about 5 miles away, but I'm there often, and they're not. But I'm hoping that they can keep it, as farmland, if at all doable. Who's to say what it's going to be like in 20 years from now, but let's hope that's the plan.
Patrick Schley celebrating his family's centennial farm in Door County. We're bringing these stories to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Friday morning. Starting in late August, a sample of producers around the country will get agricultural survey questionnaires from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The agency is taking a comprehensive look into the 2024 production and supply of small grains, including wheat, oats, barley, and rye. They will contact nearly 2,000 producers across Wisconsin to determine the 2024 acreage yield and production. Additionally, they will survey commercial grain storage operations to determine estimates of grain stock stored in any off-farm facility. Now let's take a look at our markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 371.5. That's with no change. New crop corn is trading at 393.25, down a quarter. Cash beans are trading at 945, that's up 3.75. And new crop beans are trading at 965.25, and that's also up 3.75. And wheat is trading at 510.5, and that is down a half. September Class 3 milk contract is trading at 21.94 a hundredweight, that's down 4 cents. And October milk is trading at 22.04, down 15 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 222.25. 40-pound block cheese closed at 207.75, and the double A butter closed at 315. Stick around with me this morning, as you'll never know what you'll learn next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about how we talk to ourselves, and I want to suggest a one-word change that can help when you're struggling to get your money life on track. We all know that savings are important. We all know we should have savings. But most of us have less than $5,000 put away. Money gurus and experts usually start yelling and shaming people right about now. But come on, real life is messy and expensive and complicated. And when we don't meet our goals, a lot of us say, oh man, I failed. And that's where the magic word comes in. The word is learn. Try this on. I'm learning to save. I didn't get where I wanted to this month, but I can do better next month. There's lots of science about the best way to change our behavior, and shaming ourselves doesn't really work. That's why I like to tell myself and you, you got this. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Until next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Matt Nair on Air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we say goodbye to Chicago, reviewing a busy convention week for Democrats and looking ahead to the 74 days left to campaign.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
And Consumer Protection will be awarding up to $200,000 in grant funding this year. So if you're involved in Wisconsin agriculture or food-related businesses, make sure to get your application in. And speaking of local agriculture, the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest is right around the corner. Pam Yonke has the story.
You know, it's always important that you know exactly what's happening with some of the associations that you're involved in. Wisconsin Soybean Association has been very, very busy this year. Started kind of a new opportunity for people to officially become a part of that association and support it and its goals of working on policy. We also have the very separate Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Today joining us is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, Pat Malooly, who is continuing to try to bang the drums and get people excited about the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. We've really put an emphasis on this this year, Pat. Don't know that Mother Nature got the memo about that earlier this year, but boy, the beans have really turned around and started to pop beautiful deep green this time of the year.
Yeah, finally got them dried out and some good sunshine on them. Rough start, but things look good right now, and we got some nice conditions here the next few days anyways here in August.
Have you had much opportunity to visit with growers, kind of gauge their interest on submitting a field? You know, it's always one of those deals where, especially if you got off to a bad start, you're hesitant to want to put your name in that hat.
For sure. We're visiting with guys, and bean crop seems to be always be made in August, and like say with the rainfall earlier and all these cooler temps and sunshine, I think we have some potential in some fields for some pretty good yields coming here to the fall.
And the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and the Wisconsin Soybean Association kind of working together to try to amplify getting involved. Soybean Association taking over responsibilities now. Pat, what do you think the association stands to benefit by having the yield contest under their umbrella?
Yeah, I mean, it's just awareness, I think, and it builds some camaraderie amongst the growers and maybe a little competitiveness, but also they can share ideas. And Sean's always involved in that, Mr. Connolly up there at UW. But, when sharing ideas, and if you can learn one thing from a neighbor to add some yield on your own farm or maybe a little extra income or something, that's always what we're trying to do.
Well, and the nice part I like being a kid from northern Wisconsin is the Soybean Yield Contest recognizes that different areas of the state end up with different growing conditions.
Sure, yeah, and we have those regions set up that were competitive amongst the region versus Wisconsin, pretty big state, north to south, and different conditions east to west, too, with the lake effect over to the east and a little more heat to the west, so we competitively balance that out in the regions.
Now, it's not just necessarily all about yield, is it? Didn't the association make some adjustments as far as other areas of emphasis on information from the field?
Yeah, there's a category for planting green, and using some of those climate smart or conservation practices, too. So there's new categories revolving around those practices as well.
And if we've never seen your name on an entry blank, that could be a benefit to you, too.
Correct. Yep. First-time entry class as well. So the first-time guys get to be in their own class amongst themselves.
You mentioned Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist. He uses a lot of the information gathered from that yield contest to kind of help think about projects for the Soybean Marketing Board and research in the future, too.
Correct. And talking with those growers that come to corn soy, especially to get their prizes, and Sean always gets to pick their brain what they did differently and, again, compare notes, so to speak.
Pat Malooly, along with us, current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. But remember, Wisconsin Soybean Association also working on the 2024 Yield Contest. Entries being accepted through August 31st. And a little bit of a per diem on there for you as soybean dealers, folks that are seed sellers. If you can get folks involved, there may be a little cash coming your way as a reward. And then remember, we'll recognize the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest winners coming up during the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. Jot down those dates, February 6th and 7th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, come 2025. Find entry details at wisoybean.org, wisoybean.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. Exactly. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump in Las Vegas might get Swift boated. All right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Cutting to the chase on sustainability today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Part of this whole sustainability push in farming and ranching right now depends on being able to make enough money doing it to stay in business. Eric Gibson explains it pretty well. He's an analyst with Rabobank's Food and Agribusiness Research Unit.
One of the biggest ways a farmer can leverage sustainability in their business today is approaching ways that can improve their ROI. So looking at ways to become more efficient, maybe using less of something, saving a dollar here or there, makes a really big difference in the current ag climate and this cycle that we're in right now. There is a lot of hope that in the future there will be value-added properties that the consumer is willing to pay for.
To make this happen, Gibson says, farmers will have to make innovation a goal.
So it starts with data and digital tools. Those are really important to help us get to that next level with sustainable production. And then in terms of just general technology, the U.S. farmer is a perfect example of being able to leverage technology to be better. We just continue to produce more with less, more efficiently, in just ways that we didn't think were imaginable years ago.
Gibson says farmers will need to watch for opportunities for sustainability, such as programs being offered by various agencies within the USDA, as well as carbon markets and other environmental innovations. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll do a recap of the DNC in Chicago, Illinois. Was quite a party. Tune in Friday.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kamala Harris